You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and I hate the New Orleans Pelicans. How you doing, Harrison?
I'm doing better than you. And, you know, I'm just happy you got my name right, because now that you're a big-time podcast host that hosts a national podcast, I'm glad that you still take time to come back and hang out with us little people.
I'm sorry, what podcast is this again? I forgot.
Locked On NBA. Oh, okay. It's on Friday. You host the Friday version of the show, although all days are, I'm sure, worth listening to.
People in New Orleans would say that every day but Fridays is worth listening to.
Hey, that's okay. We're still here for you, even if you sent probably pretty regrettable tweets back when, you know, you were in 2013. I don't know how old that makes you. Like, what, like 35 back then?
I was about 50. I think I had just turned 50.
Okay.
All right. So today what we're going to talk about, expectations for the Lakers. I think they're kind of changing. I think it's something that was always going to happen organically, and trying to force anything like that was not ever going to make sense. But we're going to talk about whether it's time to maybe start thinking a little bit more highly of the Lakers that we get to watch. And then the other half of the show, we're going to talk about Brandon Ingram, because once again, he's been insanely good, especially when you take into account his age, how long he's been in the league, where he was coming from, you know, in terms of what his rookie year looked like. Ingram has taken one of his bona fide leaps, and given his strides, he's come a long way. So that's what we're going to talk about for the most of the show. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HMFagan. You can follow me on Twitter at AnthonyIrwinLA. Let's go ahead and get to this game specifically. Last night, the Lakers beat the Atlanta Hawks 123 to 104. The Pelicans total is a little skewed because Tyler Ennis made his way into the game.
You mean the Hawks?
What'd I say?
You said Pelicans. But I mean, they're both birds, and the Pelicans.
Yeah, I was just yelling. I was just called. I wasn't just called a cracker. I thought somebody just called me a cracker.
Oh, my God. Please don't just read regrettable tweets on the air.
This is what's going on. This is why I said Pelicans, because I can't avoid the Pelicans right now.
Maybe shut down TweetDeck while we're recording.
I just did.
Okay, but I appreciate it.
So the Hawks had about 80 points with about 8 minutes and 8.5 minutes to go left in the game, and wind up getting to 104. Fortunately for Laker fans, that game did not take place in Los Angeles, or you would get those, my favorite kind of boos, the boos that occur at the end of a Lakers win.
We wanted basically free tacos for free boos.
Right. Like, we wanted to spend $1 less on the tacos that we get from
on
Jack in the
terrible,
Box.
Terrible, nutritionally valueless tacos from Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box, if you sponsor us, I will change my stance. I will start eating meat again. But Jack in the Box tacos, trash.
Please don't sponsor us, Jack in the Box. I do not want to have to say nice things about
it. But here's what it would sound like. Jack in the Box tacos are a refreshing snack after a Lakers win. I enjoy them more because of the feelings it brings me back to from childhood.
And I would say nothing, because I have nothing nice to say about Jack in the Box.
I'm just giving them a free preview. But anyway, yeah, you were talking about Ennis coming into the game. You gave me, before we went on the air, one of my favorite stats of the night. And there were – every single Laker had either a positive or negligible plus minus in the case of Ivica Zubac. He was exactly a zero. And Tyler Ennis, -2. Everyone else was like plus double digits. And that's just, that's honestly amazing. Like, hats off to Tyler Ennis. I, to amuse myself, live tweeted the last 5 minutes of this game because I didn't do much tweeting during the game. I was, like, not in the best, like, service spot to live tweet. And it was just, like, it was just, I can't believe that guy played this year for the Lakers. There was a point where they were like, this is our best option.
He started. He was a starter.
I know.
Unreal. All right.
I did not plan on crapping on Tyler Ennis for 5 minutes to start the show. But, yeah, he was really bad. But the Lakers, actually, I thought – I mean, they didn't play there. A lot of people I saw were like – and you, I know you were unhappy with the victory specifically. In some ways, this was an okay game. Like, they had 32 assists. That was their third highest total of assists of the year. Basically, every single guy that played scored in double digits except for, you guessed it, Tyler Ennis. And – you know, I just, like, this wasn't their worst game of the year at all. And, like, I don't think anybody's saying that. But they went in and they beat a bottom feeder. And did they keep their foot on that bottom feeder's throat for the whole game? No. You know, the Hawks outscored them in the third quarter. And the Lakers had to, like, just only marginally outscored them in the fourth quarter. So they mostly just kind of survived based on their strong first half play. But they survived that with a mostly bench lineup in the fourth quarter. For a lot of the time. And, you know, I'm not that upset about this game. I know you had a little bit more criticism for the team.
Well, it looked to me, and it's...
Wait, let me rephrase that. Anthony, why do you hate the Lakers?
It's not that I have any real criticism of the game. I was just... So, Luke Walton has done this in the past, where after a game where most people anticipate him to be happy about the way the Lakers played, happy about a win, happy about... I mean, the Lakers did win by essentially 20 points, right? And if not for Tyler Ennis, they would have actually won by 20 points. But Luke, after the game, was kind of annoyed with him, right? He was pretty obviously annoyed with the turnovers. I think some
like
of the...
it was notable to me that, like, every single question that they asked him, like, there were some that were phrased kind of positively. They're like, so what was it like to have, like, two guys, like, everyone scoring double digits tonight? And he's like, well, this was a trash game. Everyone's trash. Like, I mean, that not a direct quote, obviously, but he kept taking it right back to the negatives, and he very clearly had, like, a talking point that he wanted to get to his team that he probably relayed to them in the locker room and was probably, again, relaying through the media. You can't be satisfied just because you beat the Hawks. You played terrible.
It was the first time since 1987 that nine Lakers have scored in double digits. That's a pretty cool stat. And like you said earlier, they were sharing the ball really well. They were doing good things. Obviously, when you win an NBA basketball game on the road by 20-ish points, you did some good things, or you played a really crappy team, or both, right?
In this case, both.
Yeah, in this case, both.
The Hawks are their Twitter account spent the whole game making fun of Lakers fans. It's like, come on, man! Like you're everyone in that arena probably could not name your starting five if you offered them a $50 gift card to Jack in the Box, let's say, to do so. And, like, you're out here, like, trashing Laker fans for, I guess, being dedicated and showing up in Atlanta. I don't know.
The Atlanta Hawks are maybe the most useless organization in the NBA. Like, over the extent of their entire history, they have never been relevant, ever.
They're like the Clippers of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, they had Dominique Wilkins, and then they had that one, like, random team that got five players to be named Player of the Month. Somehow.
Yeah, the Juggerhawks.
Yeah, but other
than that, lost in like four games to the Cavs or something.
They've done that, like, I mean, before they blew it up this year to be terrible. They would always have like an okay team that got stomped on by LeBron. That was like their sole purpose.
Josh Majette became the first Locked On Lakers guest to go out and play against the Lakers tonight. So
that's good. Otherwise known as, according to Billy Mack, Josh Maggette. I didn't know.
Well, he corrected himself, and to be honest, I talked with Josh about that before. He said that that would happen a lot with road announcers. His parents would like text him, and you know, like funnily enough, his dad has the same name as Corey Maggette's dad.
There you go. We are going to. We still yet have not made the point that we promised we were going to make in the first half. so we're going to do that.
We're professionals.
We're going to do that here in a second. All right, so the point that we were going to make was that Luke Walton was not particularly thrilled with the game, and it was the first time where he was kind of, you know, letting that narrative out there and let it be known that he was not thrilled with the way the Lakers played despite winning a basketball game in very convincing fashion. And this was the first time where, as he was doing that, I agreed with him. I found myself agreeing with a lot of what he was saying. And earlier this year, when the Lakers would have a win like that and he would point to those kinds of things, I would find myself kind of rolling my eyes, just like, hey, dude, just take the wins you can get when you can get them. And it made me think, it made me start thinking that maybe it is time to slightly bump up our expectations for the Lakers, where for the last 5 years, the expectations for the Lakers were, hey, don't give me a migraine, right? And like now my expectations is, okay, if you're going to give me a migraine, give me a little warning, right? And let me take my Excedrin so that it doesn't get that bad, right? And that's kind of, I think it's kind of cool. This might be kind of that jump off point where we kind of look back and we say, yeah, this is when things kind of started to change.
I agree with you that the Lakers are better now and we should expect a little bit more from them. I'm not at the point where I'm willing to give them, for lack of a better term, a moral loss. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm not willing to go there.
Yes, they should have played better against the worst team in the NBA, but they still won. They still won by double digits, and they won by double digits despite playing Tyler Ennis, in his minus two from a lot of the fourth quarter. And so I think they played about as strong of a first half as they played this year, and then they coasted a little bit, and they're on the road, and they're a young team, and I think that's just going to happen. And I think the important thing is that they held on, and they maintained, like, the margin, and they still won the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to me. So the Lakers at the beginning of the game started with a 7-0 run, and then I think it became closer. It was either 7-5 or 8-7 for some reason, I'm thinking in my head. And then the Lakers went on another little mini run and then never really looked back. It was never a game after that. And that, to me, was exactly kind of what you wanted to see, that they started the game well, minus their first possession, which is best summed up by just kind of farting into the mic.
I actually missed the first possession of the game. What happened?
Oh, man. All right. I'm doing this all by memory, okay? But if you want Billy Mack's play-by-play, I think it sounded a lot like this. It was like a... And then Stu was like, oh, Billy!
Okay, so we're going to go behind the curtain again. We are recording this video call style, and so I just watched Anthony make raspberries into a microphone. I really wish that I had GIF to this.
And only I have the video evidence.
That's unfortunate.
All right, so I think the possession actually started with, like, an attempted pick and roll that somebody bobbled the ball to themselves and then somehow got the ball back, passed it back out with about 8 seconds to go in the possession. There was another bobble somewhere. Josh Hart picked up the ball and then committed a charge. I definitely know it ended on a charge, but it was just it was a you know, and
there was, I remember, I think it was in the second quarter, KCP was on the break and he threw a pass to no one. Like, there was no one in the area, and Lonzo Ball came out of nowhere to save that thing. The Lakers ended up,
it was Kuzma who saved the ball.
Oh, it was Kuzma. Okay.
Passed it back out to Lonzo, and Lonzo got a three on it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like Kyle Kuzma, the real MVP, for saving the Lakers from having another turnover.
And we haven't even mentioned the best play of the game, which was Isaiah Thomas dribbling into the key, getting completely lost, realizing that he was both in the key for going on 3 seconds and that the shot clock was going to expire. And instead of heaving the ball towards the basket, he throws the ball over his shoulder directly at an Atlanta Hawk defender. It was my favorite possession I've ever seen since Marcelo Huerta thought it was a good idea to fire a ball backwards at the basket and get blocked.
It really says something that I tweeted early in the game. Wow, the Hawks are not good at defending the paint. And one of their bloggers tweeted at me and thanked me for being nice.
Yeah, that was Brad Rowland. He's
sad state of affairs in Atlanta.
So we are going to stop laughing about this game. Would you agree, though, that, like, where would you say that your expectations might be now that we have a couple minutes left here? Now that, you know, maybe we would both agree that as Luke Walton is talking about maybe raised expectations for this team. Where do you think is a realistic place to put those expectations at? Because there are a few fans
for the rest of the year, or like in game to game, or what context?
I guess a little bit of both. I think the two go hand in hand.
Well, somebody asked me if I thought the Lakers could go like 17-4 the rest of the year to finish 500. And I laughed, and then I said no.
That was not good.
I think they asked me what percent chance, and I tweeted back 0%. So, like, I'm not. I joked with you when we started recording this, right before we started recording. I was like, I think the main question to ask is, can anybody stop the Lakers? Mm-hmm. And obviously, once they stop playing bottom feeder teams every single night, they're going to struggle a little bit more. I don't see them. I don't even know if they'll go 500 the rest of the year, but. Like, I think to criticize them for that, and I'm not saying that anyone is, but that's burying the lead. Like, the Lakers have as many wins today as they had all of last season. That's kind of amazing. There's, like, 21, 22 games left, I think. And, like, that's insane to me that the Lakers, they've already equaled this win total. I'm gonna, like, hand to the sky, I was wrong about this team. I was curious whether or not they would win as many games as they did last year. And they have made me look like an idiot, and I have enjoyed watching them do it.
So the Lakers right now sit at, I'm just making sure, I think every website right now has them at, 26-34. Maybe 27-34 if the websites haven't refreshed.
It's 26.
All right, so they're at 26-34. That gives them, 22 games left?
Yeah.
If they go 12-10, they could get to 38 wins, which is an important number for me, because that would be the
total. It's almost 41.
Nope, that would be the total. That would be the total number of wins that the former coach had in the entirety of his time as the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. So it'd be kind of cool that if only 2 years removed from that jackass being the face and least favorite person that I've ever had be remotely close to the Los Angeles Lakers.
But wait, who are you even talking about? Jim Buss?
Nope. That's a good try. That's a good try.
I did my best.
That's a good try. but it would be great if they could. It would be tremendous if they could somehow finish with, and I don't think they will because it's going to be tough. But if they could somehow finish with 38 wins on the year and equal the number of wins that he got over 2 years with them, that's how I would prefer the season to play out.
See, I just, like, I'm with you. That's a nice little storyline with a bow tied up on top of it. But I just don't anticipate them going 12-10. That's a lot, especially when they've just won three in a row now. And to expect them to play like at a 12-10 pace down the stretch of the season, I think is asking a little much. But hey, like, we had Coach Dad on a couple months ago, like, and he was saying that he expected the Lakers to maybe go like close to 500 the rest of the way. And so, you know, I could be wrong because he knows a lot more about basketball than like I ever will. And I guess it's possible that maybe I'm just like being stubborn and kind of bought into what I expected from this team rather than what they actually are. But I just think, I just can't see them going 12-10. I could see like I don't know, like 8-14 or something like that.
Man, they've already proved you wrong, and you're going back to the well for even lower expectations, continued lowered expectations.
I don't have high expectations. I've learned not to set high expectations for anyone in my life. And then if they exceed them, then that's great. But like, I just don't. I don't count on people.
So this got dark. We are going to come back. We're going to come back and talk about somebody who has definitely exceeded our expectations. And Brandon Ingram. Talk to you in a second. Good lord, that got real.
We are back from the break. Nihilistic Rob Pelinka has left.
Hey, I got a brand new puppy. Well, I completely expected to crap all over my bed.
No, I was, see, I would have went further with it. I would have been like, I got a brand new puppy. It'll die someday.
Okay. Good Lord.
We all die, Anthony.
No wonder you keep calling for the asteroid. So,
oh man,
Brandon Ingram. Again, we will. I will start this segment by once again retracing it's always been. I think I was always too hard on Ingram. I think I'll cop to that now.
Do you think, for real? You think you were maybe a little too hard on him?
I think I was a little too hard on him. But I would also say that even if I was more realistic about him, like even his biggest proponents would have not predicted the progress that we've seen from him this year, I don't think. Would you say that's a fair assessment of how his season has gone?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I don't know that anyone, maybe other than like Ingram and the Lakers, expected him to be this good this season, because he's been amazing since the new year.
Yeah, I think that what it comes back to for what I was hoping for from Ingram was, and I'll quote myself, I said I wanted to see a single NBA quality talent, right? And he has done that with a few NBA talents. I think he has shown his ability to create off the dribble. I think his defense and his ability and understanding of how to use his own length. His shooting, which you said, I don't know how many attempts he has taken, but I think he's shooting something like 40 plus percent from three since 2018 began.
Yeah, so since the start of the year, or since the start of the new year, here are Ingram's numbers. So he's playing a team-high 31.4 points per game, averaging 16.1 points per game on 50% shooting. He's shooting 44.4% from three on two attempts a game. So that's not a lot. That could be skewed by, like, a random hot streak here and there. He's, like, I think, like, sixth in attempts on the team since the new year. Yeah, he actually ranks like pretty low in terms of attempts. So like, this isn't to say that, you know, it couldn't just be random. I don't think that he's going to be an almost 45% three-point shooter for his whole career. And then he's also averaging 5.3 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 2.4 turnovers, half a steal, and a little over half a block. And, you know, he's been really good. He's not anything like an MVP candidate or an all-star candidate, but at age 20, to show this much is kind of incredible. And especially after the year that he had last year, where he was such a minus individually for the most part, until he started finishing at the cup towards the end of the year.
So I think last year he finished the year shooting what? In the 30, did he reach the 30% mark for 3-point shooting last year? I don't think he did.
For 3-point shooting last year, I can look this up, but
let's see. Last year, I can't find it off the top of my head, but I don't think he got to the 30% mark last year. And this year, I would agree that I don't think he's going to be a 44 or 45%.
You're shooting 38% on the year, though, so that even that is good.
Right. Well, what I was going to say though is that like I don't think he's ever going to be a 44 or 45%. That would make him one of the best shooters of all time.
Yeah, he shot 29.4% from three last year and 40% from the field. So like, this is the amount of strides that he's taken forward, and it's kind of strides befitting someone of Ingram's leg length.
Mm-hmm. And so, but I think he, you know, can he be a career, you know, from this point forward, could he be a career 37, 36, maybe even a 38%?
He's 38 on the year. Like, that's like over the whole season. That's over 56 games. Mm-hmm. And so to shoot like that, like, I think he can be an above 35% three-point shooter, which is all you really need from him. And because he just has to be league average, so that at the very least, he has to be league average, so that he can make defenses pay when they leave him, and so that he can, like, pump and drive, which he's shown he's very good at driving. He's gotten so much better at using his length around the basket over the course of the last, like, calendar year. And, you know, like, the growth of our – I guess – this must be, I'm not that much older than Brandon Ingram, but this must be what it feels like watching, you know, watching your kids grow up. It's just like, he came out just looking like a baby giraffe, was just out of control all over, like, could barely walk, it seemed like, a lot of games. And then now he's out there looking like, you know, like if you squint, Kevin Durant occasionally.
That is until
that was probably
they,
too strong.
That is
that probably too strong.
Until they inevitably die, right? Like that's
yeah. Until they die, you know, Brandon Ingram's gonna die someday. You know, we're all gonna die someday.
Locked On Lakers out of context.
Oh, please don't tweet that clip out of context.
But right
I'm
now,
not Stephen A. Smith, I didn't just threaten Brandon Ingram.
So right now, and look, so I think this is still, I would say, the worst that we are going to see Ingram for the next 10 years, I would imagine, right? Like he's going to continue to get better from here. He's only 20 years old. And, you know, this idea that was it Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer tweeted out that people at Sloan are starting to lean, or there are some executives that he has spoken to at Sloan who are starting to lean towards maybe favoring Ingram over Ben Simmons.
That's a Harrison's hot take.
I don't know that it is, though. I don't think – so I think Simmons is more ready right now and is a better NBA player right now than Brandon Ingram is. But if you were to ask me who I have to bet every single cent I have to my name and that I will ever make to my name on one guy versus the other, I think it'd be a really tough choice to make. I don't think
Ingram
anybody
certainly made it tougher. I just think Simmons has shown so much talent just in his one NBA year so far that I gotta go with him for now still. And I still think Ingram's going to be very good. I just would not be willing to put any money on Ingram as of yet.
Ingram is also a full year younger than Simmons. So what you're seeing from Simmons right now this year is what you want to see from Ingram next year.
And Simmons got a redshirt year. Who's to say he wouldn't have been as bad as Ingram if he had played an actual rookie year?
Right. I mean, we don't know what. Yeah, we don't know what that rookie year might have looked like last night. No, not last year. Now maybe it. I think there's a good chance that it probably looks better than Ingram's, just because Ingram's was so bad last year for most of the year.
It was like a very low bar to clear, more so than Simmons would have been as transcendent as he's been. I'm not willing to go anywhere near Ingram could be better than Simmons just yet. But Simmons, I will say this. Ingram, he contributed to one of the best five-man units in the NBA last year for when the Lakers had that super bench. And yes, like he wasn't the star of that, but he contributed to it. And Simmons has better teammates, just straight up. Like, he just does. And, like, Joel Embiid is better than anyone Ingram has played with in his entire NBA career.
Other than Tyler Ennis.
Yes.
Right.
Well, better at what? I mean, I presume there's something Tyler Ennis is better than Joel Embiid at. Just not basketball. Or what? Social media.
No, now we need
or
to figure...
Or keeping his jersey intact.
Now we need to figure this out. Now we need to figure out what...
Wearing t-shirts under his jersey.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Fitting into cars. I bet Tyler Ennis is better at fitting into cars than Joel Embiid.
So much better.
There you go. Way to go, Tyler.
Joel Embiid's going to like listen to this podcast and trash talk us on Instagram.
He's going
to
take a picture in a semi and be like, who doesn't fit?
Yeah.
All right, so
who wants to car Embiid?
So I would say if between the conversation that we had to start the show regarding the Lakers' expectations and then now if we were to carry that theme over to what we're seeing from Ingram – and what we've seen from Ingram. Do we think that he – like how much of this do we think – oh, and by the way, the other bit of context that we didn't even mention is that he did this the bulk of his work in 2018 have all come while playing the position that isn't his natural position.
That's true. Like, that's and so like that's where almost where the similarities to Simmons come in is they're both not guys who would have come into the league as point guards like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago.
Maybe. Although Simmons came into the league as a point guard, Ingram came into the league as a small
But
forward.
Would Simmons have been given the freedom to run point at lower levels like earlier on? So that's what I'm saying. Like he would have been – he probably wouldn't have been as high as a draft prospect because people would have misused him his whole career.
Right. But what I'm saying though is that – although he is phenomenal in the post. I really like watching him play in the post. But
he's good at everything, which is why I'm not willing to put him over Ingram yet. Hot take, somehow.
You reversed it.
I mean, yes, why I'm not willing to put Ingram over him yet.
That's called a Freudian slip, folks. You guys got to witness
that. You caught me. I please don't anybody just cut this audio bit and like record it and then throw it on Twitter, but I truly believe that Brandon Ingram is far, far, far better than Ben Simmons. Freudian slip, you caught me.
But I would say, though, that What I was going to say and what I was going to ask you, and we'll wrap up on this, is we talked about the Lakers' overall expectations maybe being raised, not just because of the one game against Atlanta, but because of the development and the progress that we have seen from them from the start of the year to now. But I think we can ask that same question here about Ingram, in that do we think he can continue with his averages since 2018 started until the end of the year, injuries notwithstanding?
I think he's going to be close. I think the three-point shooting will probably drop like a little bit as you know, the final 20 games go on or so. But I think, like, as far as his season averages go, his season averages are still really good. He's averaging a couple less assists and a little more points since the new year. But I think even if you just told me, like, his season-long averages, can those continue throughout the rest of the year? I think so. I think his free throw shooting will probably get better. He's at 68.6% right now. And
What's he been shooting since the start of the year?
On free throws?
Yeah.
So on free throws since January. Oh, wait, this is since January. No, it's not. Since January 1st. No,
he's 68.8% on the year.
Yeah, 68. No, why is it not? I'm sorry. NBA.com isn't resetting. Technical difficulties.
We really should have done this. I thought we had this set up before.
Well, and then I had to move the page. But, yeah, since the new year, 71.4%. So not a significant increase. I think he'll get to league average like as a free throw shooter eventually. I don't know that it'll come this year. But I think his three-point percentage is around 38%. I think he can maintain that. I'd like to see him taking a couple more attempts. But I also understand why the Lakers aren't having him force it.
Yeah, I don't really have any complaints with the way he plays. I think sometimes he falls a little too deeply in love with his mid-range game, and I'd like to see him work to either get to the free throw line more, get to the rim more, and then that might lead to a couple more free throws per game. But overall, it's hard to really complain about a 20-year-old dude playing his not natural position, showing out the way he did. And look, we're talking about a season that is probably going to finish up with about 34, 35-ish wins, right? So it's hard to say that anything that he necessarily did saved a season in the traditional sense, when that season is still going to finish up well below 500. But if he doesn't show the point guard skills that he does, and we have to go through another month or so of Ennis starting a point guard, the Lakers probably don't crack 30 wins this year.
And he was willing to step up to the challenge despite having, like, I believe recently come back from injury.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that I was going to say was that there's a good chance I don't make it to 2018 if I have to watch more Tyler Ennis over that stretch.
Right? Yeah, well, it's like I said, we all die.
Mine would have just come a little faster. So, yeah, shouts to Brandon Ingram. He's having a great year.
Lockdown Lakers guest Brandon Ingram, friend of the show, we can call him.
I made him laugh once. But to those who are asking if he should be up for Most Improved Player of the Year, he is. He should not. Second year players generally are not up for that award. But that does make you kind of excited for, because there is a such thing as of the third year leap. And so if we see a third year leap from Ingram, and it is in line with the leap that he took from his rookie to sophomore year.
I don't think he can take a leap from rookie to sophomore year, not that level again. But I think if we see him, you know, increase all of his shooting by a couple percentage points, and he just continues to get a little bit better on defense, all of a sudden that's like that's a above average player.
I don't know if I mean, you're talking about a Grand Canyon-esque leap that we were talking from rookie.
That's what I'm saying. He can't leap the Grand Canyon again, but he can jump over, like, I don't know, like a creek of some kind.
Well, I think I'm not going to doubt the kid. I already did that. He already made me look stupid once.
So you're going to go too far in the opposite direction
ground. I'm not going to predict a
Brandon Ingram is going to average 40 points a game and like 10 assists and 10 rebounds and win MVP next year. Direct quote from Anthony Irwin.
That I did not actually say.
Yeah, well, you know, fake news.
But do I think he can make progress along the lines of 85% of the progress that he made from his rookie year to sophomore year? I think that's fine to expect. I think that's fine to hope for. Expecting or hoping for a similar leap would be a great way to get yourself disappointed. But
I don't set expectations, Anthony.
but I do think though that he has the tools in front of him. He has the work ethic, obviously, to have taken the leap that he did this year. But he has the tools and the work ethic and the mentality, it looks like, to be a legitimately really, really, really good player. And
definitely the mentality. One thing that I'll never forget about Brandon Ingram is last year I was covering a D-League game, and this is on a Saturday night in Los Angeles. And, like, after the defenders were done playing, he was, like, wandering around while people were doing post-game interviews. He just walked over, and he was just shooting free throws in the gym by himself with, like, I think a friend or a trainer at, like, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night in L.A.,
yeah.
And I don't remember for sure, but I'm not even sure the Lakers had a game the next day. So this is a day he could have been out and he could have been doing something. And he was like in the Lakers practice facility, the Lakers cold practice facility, shooting free throws.
There you go. And so what we're saying is because he shot free throws on some random Thursday night, he is Saturday night, he is absolutely going to be the next Giannis. So that's hashtag
future star.
That's exciting.
Well, not the next Giannis, because Magic can say nice things about him and not get dinged for tampering.
Good point. So he'll be the next Giannis that Magic doesn't have to worry about not talking about. Although it would be hilarious if Magic decided he wasn't going to talk about anybody from now on. He just never talks ever again.
You just ask him about a player, he throws down a smoke bomb and like takes off.
I'm out.
He's like, it's like Magic, I'll disappear. Boom. And then he's just gone.
Yeah. Magic, we see you running over there. No, you don't.
He's behind a bush.
All right, we're gonna get out of here before it gets too weird.
This podcast got weird, but that's fine.
When we for tomorrow's show, for the next show, we're probably gonna need a topic for you guys to lob to us. So head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, give us your question, and maybe we'll get to it. I was going through there yesterday, and I saw a couple interesting ones. So maybe we'll get to them tomorrow. Other than that, have a good rest of your day, everybody. Thank you, Lakers, for being semi-good again. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, there are moral losses again. People can get mad about wins once again. That is, and not for tanking reasons. That's progress.
Yeah, this is cool. Have a good one, everybody.